So when we practice these Gita verses, it's not about that this is gospel or a belief that we are trying to make ourselves believe, but it's a test. It's a contemplation. If this statement was true, what are they talking about? What do they mean? Is it just a fairy tale or someone's delusion? Or is there truth in it that we either also recognize or maybe have, which is the most humble opinion and humble way to practice, have yet to recognize? Again, it's not something I have to force myself to believe, because you can't. You can't force yourself to believe this stuff. Over time, as you're the jiva, the individual, becomes ready, then it's like, oh, it was true. It was true. That's why, remember from the first verse, what kind of place does a person who's ready to do this work need to be in? You have to be ready to see if this is true. You can't force this down your own throat. So picking up from where we left off, the self cannot be cut, burnt, wetted, or dried. It is eternal, all-pervading, immovable, unmoving, and changeless. The self cannot be cut, burnt, wetted, or dried. It is eternal, all-pervading, immovable, unmoving, and changeless. There's two statements in this verse. First, it says what the self is not. Cut, burnt, wetted, or dried. These are things that dissolve or take away or remove. These are things that when we cut things, wet them, dry them, burn them, they are going to be transformed. They're going to become something different. They are temporary. And these words are often indicating that they are now the end of their temporariness. They are at their end and beginning to become something different. They're in the process of changing. In the second half, eternal, all-pervading, immovable, unmoving, and changeless. So the self does not have attributes that can be changed. Can't change where it is in space because it's beyond space. Can't change where it is in time because it's beyond time. It can't die because it's never been born. It's all pervading. It's everywhere. So it can't move. Now this is often different from where we are when we think about if we identify as a body, as our thoughts, as our memories, as our brain. These things are constantly moving and changing. And they can be cut, burnt, wetted, or dried. So this is not what the self is. The self is beyond this. It's different. When we think that we are the things, like our body, our memories, our thoughts, our brain, we would say it's a mistake, that it's a false knowledge covering up the true knowledge of the self. The true knowledge of the self is beyond, it recognizes that the self is beyond the ability for it to be transformed. And it's always like this. So So when you're sitting, how do you wrestle this, or how do you accept this, swallow this into your knowledge? When you sit, you have to become aware. As you become aware, you start to identify things, maybe. Objectify things, your body, the room you're in. And all you can see is temporariness, things that are going to go away with time, despite how permanent they may seem in the moment. You wake up tomorrow, your body is going to kind of look the way it was. Your problems are going to kind of stay the same, but they are in fact changing very much. And so you are not, the self is not these things. And you're the self, so you are not these things. So you need to become aware again. What are you? And you start to take away the things that you realize are constantly going through this process of being cut, burnt, wetted, or dried. Constantly going through the dissolution process. And what is left? You could think of it as a substratum. This thing that does not fit any of these criteria, transforming qualities. It's beyond it, it's below it, it's above it, however you want to frame it. It's within it, it's without it. We can experience it directly, we can live as it. We've been living as it already. We just had a mistaken knowledge, a false knowledge, having us think about the world a little different instead, making the mistake over and over. And then we sort of try to get it right. We try to perfect ourselves, we try to perfect the body, try to eat really healthy, do a lot of yoga. You try to work on your breathing techniques to get your body clean. You work on saying positive thinking stuff to your mind to make your mind perfect. Listen to motivational speaking tapes in your car. But these are all temporary. But deep down, we have this yearning. Maybe you have that yearning and you feel inside that I'm beyond this. I am a perfect being. Not in an egoic, shallow way. Like a person who just grooms and manicures themselves to try and look perfect or act perfect. But that there's a real part of it that's already perfect. Deep down, we know this inside. And instead of realizing what that perfection is, we keep mistaking ourselves for this body-mind. And so we try to perfect it. Improve it. Over and over. And just reinforce the mistake. But awareness is already present. It's all around. It's all within. Already completed. You just become aware of it. It's perfect. Already perfect. And so then you'll waver between making the mistake and remembering the true knowledge that the self is already this perfect, immovable, changeless thing. And when you waver, you forget. You can now use this sutra, this verse, to remember, to remind yourself, oh, that thing is dissolving. That thing could be cut, wetted, burnt, and dried. So therefore, it's not the self. And I'm the self. And so then we start to let go of the false knowledge. You let go of the mistake. Oh, I'm not the body. I'm not the thought forms. I'm not the memories. You just keep letting it go. Over time, as you become acquainted with the true knowledge, and again, it has to be your knowledge, it's not a belief, it's not a faith-based thing, it's inside of you. You already have this sort of yearning to recognize it. If it's not in there, you can't really force this stuff down your throat. It has to already sort of make deep sense to you. If you're the practitioner, you want to wrestle with the statement, then this is not the practice for you. Now, I'm not saying you should just accept it. As a matter of fact, you should try to disprove it. That's the practice. Try to see for yourself, is it true? Is there a sense of just being? A sense of just existence? Beyond any inkling of having a personality around it. Not even an inkling of a personality. Not even a hint of, once I did not know, and now I do know. Not even a hint of a student or a practitioner. It's just the self. And it's no longer even having a relationship to other things. It's like watching this whole thing, this whole magical story of life and creation, just slowly unfolding over and over. Watching all the smaller pieces, all the little fragments and nooks and crannies of the creation being cut, burnt, wetted, or dried. It happens to your body, it happens to the other bodies around you, it happens to your life story, it happens to the global life story. And inside you may feel things like, oh, that's sad. Or, oh, that's exciting. Or, oh, I'll be angry at that. Or, you're angry at the idea. Those little ways that you relate to this statement, that's the actual place to practice. That relationship to this statement is the place of practice. That's where the remnants of the individual are still present. That over time, it's just eternal. All-pervading. You don't even see the difference anymore. So the self cannot be cut, burnt, wetted, or dried. It is eternal. All-pervading. Immovable, unmoving, and changeless.